is that the Elohim Shematilin Osam Benafshan is a dual criterion. It certainly has to do with the Avera, but what was the other factor, which Rashi cites in the Mishnah, which comes pretty much directly out of the Gemara? One very important word. Pigam. Yeah, very, very well said. Okay, so there's a shame factor. So if it was just about the Avera, nothing could be worse than Avodah Zarah or Chil Shabbos, or, you know, Rodei Fachar Behema, it's all very bad. But there is a pagam, which is suffered by the human being, who would be assaulted, whether it's a Zachar, Nare Murasa, and like a super pagam in the case of being dead. Right? Ein lecha pagam gedola mizo, presumably, right? Nobody wants to be dead. Almost all cases. So that's, the differentiating factor. So the Gemara asks a very important question, which you guys began to look at yesterday. So this is what you have here on Ayin Dalid, which is, does this really make sense? So that we're going to start with Tani Rabbi Shimon B'chai Omer, Ovid Avodas Kochavim, Nitan Lahatzilo Benafsho. And the underlying logic, that will explore together. So is anybody going to be here for the entire period, or we're losing literally everybody?
Most people are here for the whole thing.
Oh, okay. All right. So you read, Ross. Okay. And that's like the story from the Rav Shir when the guy didn't want to read, and the Rav said, because the Rav called on Goldstein, or whoever it was, and Goldstein said, he's not here. He said, okay, fine, so you read. All right, Ross. Good one. Okay, so what's the point that Rashbi is making?
That if a Avera that's like on a lower level in the sense of being like, I guess more like Avera would be Nitan Tzil B'Nafsho.
And saying this whole idea that, oh, you know, Matzilin Osam Benafshan is because you're preventing them from doing an Avera, number one, and it's Avera that would impact somebody else, number two, and then that makes sense, so we can kill them. Like, that all presupposes the idea that, like, a pagam in a person is worse than the pagam that having a Avodah Zarah in the world or Chol Shabbos in the world causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, does that make sense? So Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, no, it doesn't make sense. So if the point is you want to stop somebody from doing an Avera, great. But why do we have this privileging of Averos ben Adam l'chavero over Averos ben Adam l'makom? In both cases, you'd be saving somebody from doing a very bad Avera. And in both cases, you're stopping a pagam. In one case, there's a human victim. In one case, there's a divine victim. You know, why are human victims more entitled to our sympathies and interventions than God? Whatever happened to Eis Lasos LaHashem? So there. Okay, I like the argument. So that's an interesting question you saw before in the Gemara, but could we really give somebody an onesh based on a kal v'chomer? Now again, you don't have to say it's like an onesh, because you could say this whole idea is preemptive. It's not really an onesh. An onesh is a punishment for something that happened, but all right, maybe this is a loose use of the term. V'chiyon shin min adin. So the answer is, yeah, he's okay with that. Okay, so that's the last piece of the Gemara they want to see. So there's some basic equation between Chol Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. Okay, so what is that? What's the equation? Yeah, what's that about?
That if we hold, you can kill someone to do a desire, based on the Zer Shava Chilul by the Avodah Zarah, you can also.
So there's this language of Chilul. Okay, very good. So you want to take a look at Rashi? Sabr la Kevua? Okay, so what's a little bit controversial about that? What do we know? Some inside information. We always refer to violations of Shabbos, or almost always, as we'll see, as chilul Shabbos. Right? Literally, from the language of chulin, the desecration of the Kedusha of Shabbos. Chilul, in terms of Avodah Zarah, is a really interesting concept. We normally talk about ha'ovid Avodah Zarah, Kabbalah Salahos. But what's very controversial, Shimon, about this limud?
That he's learning, he's using the word
chilul. Right. A little bit more precise, all true.
Okay,
so there's a big debate: is Molach actually midin of Avodah Zarah or not? We were about to say that. Okay, so that's the question. You have to make a very big assumption, if this is really what you're talking about, that it's predicated on a molech. So this is discussed very heavily. Is molech really midin Avodah Zarah? Molech might be, from one perspective, like the worst form of Avodah Zarah. It's like Avodah Zarah plus Shvichos Damim, depending on what you see as, you know, going on with molech, right? If you take it like the Ramban did, as actual human sacrifice, so then you're both killing somebody, maybe, and doing Avodah Zarah at the same time. But not everybody agrees that it actually has the status of Avodah Zarah. So this is a controversial point. So maybe what we're really in need of is some kind of a broader understanding of the relationship between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah that won't be so vulnerable to two critiques. One critique, Onshin Min Hadin, right, which is already a vulnerability. And secondly, is this really a valid Hekesh of Chil between Shabbos and Molech? No, you don't assume that Molech is necessarily Avodah Zarah. So that's a pretty tenuous scenario, but can we get onto, you know, higher ground, more solid footing with respect to Shabbos and Avodah Zarah? That's really what we're going to try to do today, and then again on Monday, and hopefully, yeah, maybe a little bit on Tuesday, but we should be able to wrap this up pretty quickly. Okay, so this Gemara in Chulin, Dalad Amid Beis, Hamad Aleph, in the context of Shechita, the Mishnah, beginning of Masechta Chulin, says HaKol Shochtan, that everybody's allowed to Shecht, except those people who can't. But when it says HaKol Shochtan, it establishes a default that everybody should be able to do it. But there are certain individuals who are outside. Okay, so this is the Gemara there, and I've excerpted the critical parts. Okay, so Gufa Amar Rav Hanan Amar Shmuel. So that's a pretty shocking statement. If you had an idolatrous Jew, you would be allowed to eat from his shechita, right? Even if you're not an expert in Hilchos Shechita, you would assume that that's a very controversial statement, right? Like, really? You're allowed to eat from the shechita of somebody who's an Oved Avodah Zarah? Right? That's a pretty shocking line. Yeah, we don't accept it. It gets rejected by the Gemara, but Rav Hanan thought that in the name of Shmuel. Shmuel was an Orthodox rabbi. Permitted shechita from an Oved Avodah Zarah. Wow. That's pretty shocking. I don't know if Shmuel could have served on the RCBC. On the other hand, how could the RCBC reject Shmuel? What would that mean about us? These would be angry letters to the Jewish link. Who do these people think they are? Turning down Shmuel? But he insists that an Oved Avodah Zarah can do Shechita. It's not consistent with our policies. You see the dilemma. Okay. Shimon? So what's wrong with that, right? The man wants a Bris Mila. Why can't he get a Bris Mila? It comes from a family of hemophiliacs, yeah. It's pikuach nefesh. We're going to discriminate against the man for shechita? Okay. Oh, so maybe that's, you know, the point. So it's really interesting that the Gemara assumes that Mumar La'arlos is like a Mumar L'davar Echad. You could have said that Bris Mila is a little bit more fundamental than some other areas in the Torah. And that's a really interesting discussion. But when we say Afilu Yisrael Mumar, if it's a Mumar L'avodas Kochavim, that might justify Rav Anan's Shita in the name of Shmuel. So Gemara says, no, we can't believe it. Lo, Leilo, Meim L'cha Mumar L'avodas Kochavim, lo. Why can't it be? Damar Mar. Okay, so Avodah Zarah is very, very, very chamur, as one would expect, to the point where anybody who repudiates Avodah Zarah, it's as if they're validating or affirming the entire Torah. I remember vividly about 15 years ago learning this Gemara through Rosenzweig and saying, you're in the game. You know, a person who is kofir by Avodah Zarah, there might be serious flaws, gaping holes, massive holes. I think that's a direct quote. You could go to YU Torah and, you know, listen to it, but I'm being very entertained by his presentation of the Gemara. So this person really might be leaving something to be desired, but as long as you're a kofir by Avodah Zarah, Gavi, if you can reject Avodah Zarah, it's like you've affirmed the whole Torah. You know, and there's something to it. Anybody know how many Yisurei D'oraisa the Rambam enumerates having to do with Avodah Zarah?
49.
Very close. Wow. 51. Shimon, pretty good. Okay. So, if you're feeling, you know, badly about yourself one day from a spiritual perspective, just think about that. I repudiate Avodah Zarah. It's like a mode of b'chol ha'Torah kula. Don't get complacent, but I'm just telling you, you know, don't get too down on yourself on a rainy day. Yeah, I'm a kofir by Avodah Zarah, a mode of b'chol ha'Torah kula. All right. So Ella, the Gemara, pivots and says, must be mumar lo sodav chedarava. Must be that we're being marba for shchita kol shochten, even mumar lo sodav. Let's say it's pretty shocking, right? Somebody who's a mumar for matters of kashrus. The man eats nevelos, and somehow you could trust his shchita. That seems strange to us also. So Meisvei, Gemara says, really? Not a compliment. Oh, okay. So we talk about a mumar who's out. That's a mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula. We talk about mekablin korbanos miposhei Yisrael kedei lachzer b'tshuva. That's a mumar l'davar echa. That's a mumar for local area. Okay. So we categorically reject Rav Hanan, and what emerges naturally from the Gemara, that the only kind of mumar who we consider to be out of bounds is a mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula. We wouldn't accept korbanos from this person. Right, the shechita of this person would be invalidated. But what is the criterion? What are the two areas that qualify? And now, Shimon, maybe we can get onto a little bit more solid ground than just mechala mos yumas, umizar achal lo siten la'avir la'molach, velo sechalel shem elokecha, ni Hashem. So what's the... what meets that standard of Mumar L'chol ha'Torah kula? And? The whole point of the Gemara. Sariel? Shabbos. But only Shabbos before Hesed, right? That's where you can look at second period in terms of Tchum Shabbos. Okay. Amazing. So there are only two averos which are sufficiently grievous to render one a mumar l'chol atara kula. And they're not necessarily the gimel chamuros, right? Avodah zarah, yes. But it's not shvichus damim. Not arayos. It's chol shabbos b'farhesya. Well. Those are the two. You're a mumar l'chol atara kula. And for that, we would say, we're not going to accept their korbanos. Bachem chilakti v'lo ba'umos. You're not even considered poshe Yisrael. You're less than that. So let's cover some of the Rashis, and then we'll be into the relevant passages in the Rambam. That's why I redistributed this. I apparently did the Rambam and Avodah Zarah twice, as opposed to the Rambam and Avodah Zarah and Ma'aseh Korbanos, which are very similar, but important differences. Okay, so let's see Rashi, Tosos, and the two Rambams. Okay, go ahead, Shimon. Right, so the Mesuach of Machmas Mila is clearly a case of Anos. Okay, very interesting. So Rashi tries to justify how in the world, Svi, are we going to say somebody who eats non-kosher food, we can trust for his shechita? We say he's a mumar l'teyavon. It's not like he's doing it lahachis. It's not like he's going to try to mess up the shechita. He just as happily eat from kosher food as from non-kosher food. It's just that he can't wait. So he can't wait till he gets to Noah's Ark, because every time he passes a Burger King, you know, he can't pass up the sandwich. So, you know, if you give him an opportunity to eat kosher meat, he'll be really happy to do so. He's not against it. So we have lower standards for Goyim. We're going to let them send in their korbanos, certain kinds of korbanos. But members of Klal Yisrael, not everybody can be misnadei v'karban. So you have to be a Jew in good standing. Bachem chilakti v'lo ba'umos. The question is, what does that mean? And that's where the Gemara said, we draw the line at a mumar l'chol haTorah kula, not a particularly high bar. So Ovid Avodah Zarah, Michal Shabbos b'farhesya. Okay, that's where we draw the line. Am hadome el behema. Wow. This is one of these critical Rashis you spend a lot of time thinking about, which I think gets us onto much higher ground in terms of our Gemara, Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. What do I mean by that, Shimon? Our Gemara had suggested, oh, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Whatever true of Avodah Zarah would be true of Chilul Shabbos. And an interesting hekesh. It required, again, a person accepting Onshin Min Adin, and believing that there was a hekesh of chilul chilul mechala mos yumas by Shabbos and velosechalel shem lokecha ni Hashem by Molech. But I pointed out those are two very big assumptions. But what's Rashi saying here? No, it's actually a natural fit of Avodah Zarah and Shabbos because okay, so be more specific about it. Put a finer point on it. Avodah Zarah is X and Shabbos is Y. But there's enough of a connection between X and Y. Let's try to define it. Let's articulate it in very precise terms. General, Avodah Zarah is an assault on Emmanuel. Avodah Zarah is good, is kofir b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is not necessarily an assault on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it is an assault on good. Right? You can believe that God exists, but that he has nothing to do with the world or the creation of the world. Right? I don't know, maybe he preoccupies himself all day with, Minecraft. Call of Duty. But, didn't create the world in 6 days, rest on the seventh day. So these are different, but still fundamentally aligned. Denying, Shimon, as you were saying, foundational tenets of Yadus. If you don't believe that God created the world, so then your relationship to mitzvos in general is very, 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 very limited. If you don't believe in God, your relationship to mitzvos is even more limited, presumably. But they're both, very, very limiting. Considered to be mumar l'chol Torah kula. So now we might understand a little bit more clearly why the Gemara said that the pagam to Kadosh Baruch Hu could be the same, whether it's chol Shabbos b'far Hesya or Avodah Zarah, right? What was good for one is good for the other. And that was Rabbi Shimon Yochai's point. He says, no, Elohim Shematzil Nosam Ben Afshan should apply to Ovid Avodah Zarah. He would cut somebody down. He would snipe them before they would do Avodah Zarah or Chol Shabbos, because the pagam to Kadosh Baruch Hu in both cases is severe. And if somebody were running to be Malava Beribis, I don't know, if we would cut him down. Maybe Be'achad Me'ivarav. But the pagam to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the context of Chol Shabbos and Avodah Zarah is so bad that, Elohein Shematzil Nosam Nafshan. Micah, please. Ah, very good. Why would it be any different to do it B'tzina B'far Hesya? Excellent. Okay. That's what tomorrow's shiur is going to be about. Everybody appreciate Micah is a very sharp question. Parenthetically, I would note. Do you remember when we were talking about Kiddush Levan and I remember I was talking about the sarval of the Maharam Rutenberg, his sharp blazer, and nobody here knew what the term sharp meant? So somebody listened to that shiur on YU Torah, and I got this email yesterday, which I'm going to read to you now. It's a very sharp question, so this is what reminded me of that. I laughed out loud when I read it. Okay, second. Is it later already? Hopefully not. This is worth saving. Here it is. Dear Rabbi Friedman, I recently enjoyed your shiur on Kiddush Levana. I just wanted to note that not only did my elders say I looked sharp, but according to family lore, I once answered, "You better watch out or I'll cut you." Considering how many times this story has been repeated, it was one of the greatest responses ever. You meet interesting people out there. Okay. Anyway, so that's a very sharp question. So sharp it might cut somebody. Okay, Gavi, be careful. Right. Okay. Sharp as the, you know, Mahram Rutenberg's sarval. Well, the problem is the Gemara Sanhedrin limits him because the Gemara says, oh, it's based on a Hekesh. I'm just saying that there's more reason to believe when you zoom out from the Gemara, there's much more reason to believe that what's true of Avodah Zarah is going to be true of Kol Shabbos. We have, like, you know, much more profound halachic connections than having to rely on this Hekesh. They're the only two things that you could do to basically lose your status as a Jew in good standing.
But if this seems to be like a kind of like a core connection between the two, why can't he also go over there?
Well, again, Rashi very often, these are tough kashas methodologically to ask on Rashi, because remember, Rashi's always commenting on the Gemara. So sometimes you get a free association Rashi where he'll, you know, start ad-libbing, but, you know, most of the time he's going to limit himself to what the Gemara actually said. It's part of his greatness, is the discipline. Okay, so Tosfos says, Kadesh Yachshav Memetshuva, if you're not Michal Shabbos Bevarasya, if you're not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, we'll accept a korban from you because we want to encourage you religiously. I mean, like, really, we wouldn't want to because we're not so impressed with you because you have serious spiritual problems. But we'll do it because we think it could be inspiring as an experience. Okay, go ahead, Shimon. He's trying to explain the distinction. You could have said a mumar ledavar achad is out too. So why would we say a mumar ledavar achad is in terms of korbanos? Kamar. So I find this endlessly fascinating. So Tosfos makes a psychological umdana. He says, you know, people who are mumar ledavar achad. So let's say, Tzvi, right, these people are migaleich batar. The guy is shaving with a razor, and he does it every single day. So he's a mumar ledavar achad for sure. But we think that this person is basically, you know, repairable. Because all you have to do is, it's not like, you know, most of it is intact. He's got this problem, and you have to bring him back from this problem. So we think we can do it. We think we could do it. Right? So Tosfos is saying, Kamar mumar ledavar achad v'kal yachzor b'tshuva l'kach mekam nehem k'day sheyachzoru. So as part of our overall agenda, unapologetically, we have an agenda with this person, as we would like this person to stop doing this aveira. So we might as well accept korbanos, nedarim and nedavos on this person, because we don't see them as so far removed. As opposed to a mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula, who's just out. B'chem chilak divlo b'umos. Okay? So there is such a thing, where I'm not, you know, promoting aveira, but there is such a thing as a contained aveira, an aveira which is not so devastating. Yeah, sure.
Is it fair to say Tosfos would have been a fantastic NCSY advisor?
You know, I don't have a lot of experience with them. I don't know if this is their attitude. And I think that they also tend to deal with people who are like, you know, I don't want to make any assumptions here, but like, it's not just a davar echad, right? Again, Tosfos is saying, like, this guy is, you know, fully observant, except he has this strange lacuna. You know, he just can't observe, you know, the Issa Deraisa against Bal Tashchas, you know, Peyasa Kanecha. Or she's, you know, a fully observant lady, Shabbos, Kashas, Taras, and Mishpacha, but she can't stop gossiping. She can't help herself. So we see these people as within reach. Yeah, general.
So, according to Tosfos, the only people that we see out of reach are Mura, Kota, or Kula?
Correct, which is defined very strictly.
So Tosfos is saying that somebody who goes around murdering people on a regular basis.
That's okay. He said, saying, as I was trying to point out before, right? It's like Chil Shabbos and Ovid Avodah Zarah, you know, are, the only things that could get you to the status of Mumar L'Chol Torah Kula. Yeah, I agree, right? There are certain things, right? You know, the Gimel Chamuros, or the Gimel Chamuros for a reason. It's like, that's what I said before. It doesn't seem like such a high bar. Okay, so let's take a look. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Maisa Korbanos and the Rambam in Avodah Zarah. Let's try to get this in under the wire. Okay, Shimon, take it away. Yisrael, Shumumar Levarazara, Michal Shabbos Bifar Hesia. Micah, we're going to come back to Michal Shabbos Bifar Hesia.
Yeah, I think
wait, you didn't get the new one? Oh, it's because I'm holding all of them. Okay. Wait a second. Well, people didn't get it. Pegam da Kadosh Baruch Hu. All right, I'll read it while people. Well, okay. Yisrael shu mumar l'avodah zarah. Michal Shabbos for Hesia. Ein mekablin mimenu korban klal. They're out. Bechad mevar. So, oh, I thought. We just need the one source of Maaseh Korbanos. All right. Yisrael shu mumar l'avodah zarah michal shabbos v'rehesia mikabim min korban klal afilu ha'ola shemikabim osam min ha'nachrim even from goyim en mikabim osam min ha'mumar hazeh again meaning avodah zarah and chol shabbos shenemar adam ki yakriv mikem mipi ha'shmu alamdu mikem v'lo kulcham lahotzi asam mumar. Again, the only mumar that we're talking about here is mumar l'chol ha'torah kula avalim haya mumar l'shar veros. Okay, Yasi wants to know about mass murderers. Okay, mikabli menukol korbanos kadei shiachzer b'tshuva. Hayamumar le'avera v'hum before some viadua la'sosa v'hurgol ba ben lahaches ben l'teyavon and mikabli menukorban la'osa v'era ketsad. Kigon shayaragil achol chelav ben lahaches ben l'teyavon v'shagag v'achol chelav v'vichates en mikabli nosa menu. So the Rambam has one more addition. He says mumar chol tarakula you never accept their korban. And if they're a mumar lo sodavar, it's not reasonable to accept their korban for that aveira. So there are certain aveiros, like a chilas chelev, which carry with it, even if you did it b'shok, right, normally you can't bring a korban for something you did b'mezid. Right, a korban chatas is always b'shokig. So if you had somebody who was a mumar for chelev, whether it's l'hachas or teyavon, so you can't bring a korban for that. Fine. Okay, so Shimon, let's get the Rambam and Avodah Zarah under the wire here. So the Rambam has both formulations. Repudiation of Avodah Zarah is an affirmation of the entire Torah, okay? And affirmation of Avodah Zarah is repudiation of the entire Torah. Wow, so it's you're not just, you violated Nisr Skila, doing an Avodah Zarah, the Rambam writes here, is, makes you keh obeid kochavim. Wow, like, the chol dvarav, that we treat you, doesn't necessarily mean that you are a non-Jew, idolater, but we treat you that way. It's blasphemy. Right, so the Rambam here is explaining why these are the worst of the worst, that blasphemy and Avodah Zarah seem to go together. Okay, so I think it's fair to say that the Rambam was not soft on Avodah Zarah. The Rambam writes about it, you know, in very, very graphic terms, very colorful terms. And he explains that a person who's an Ovid Avodah Zarah cannot be treated as a member of Klal Yisrael. Since he can't be treated as a member of Klal Yisrael, this applies in a pervasive way, right? This would mean that, let's say, an Ovid Avodah Zarah, right, if he shechted, it would be like Shechitas Nachri. If he showed up for a minyan, you wouldn't be able to count him. And a million other things, right? That's the idea. Right? When it comes to dinei, you know, eruve chatzeros, we'll talk about that in, you know, next week, you know, where there's an idea of bittul, rishus, Jews, you know, you want to make everything into one unit, one rishus for purposes of carrying, you know, on Shabbos. And Jews can be mevatel, you know, rishus one to the other. So for non-Jews, you have to do schirus rishus, right? So you'd have to be socher rishus, very uncomfortable. The man's Jewish, but he's not to be treated like a Jew. And again, the Rambam, you know, says that's why there's tliya. What's interesting is that the Rambam here does implicitly, though, break a little bit of the connection, because tliya is reserved for Ovid Avodah Zarah and Megadev, right? Es Hashem hu Megadev, ki kil las elokim taloi, lo setam eras ad mascha. You would think naturally that it would apply to, right, to Chil Shabbos. So we have to talk about, for the Rambam, what that distinction is, and you won't be surprised to hear that this gets back to Micah's issue on the dot, right? That Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah wherever it is. There's something about Shabbos Bifarhesia that makes it only that level of Avera when it is Bifarhesia, Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula, and, in my view, saves you from Tliya. I'm going to connect the 2 points. Emmanuel, O.G. Emmanuel L'chaim. Possibly, because it's like one stitch down.
Yeah.
Yeah. In theory, because you could be moda b'Kadosh Baruch Hu and kofer his relationship with the world, his creation of the world, you could say God exists, but the olam is kadmon. It is maybe not quite as bad as saying, you know, God doesn't exist, or, you know, some other act of Vodazara. The Rambam classifies them all as minim, so, you know, it's a debatable point, but I would have said exactly what you said, Emmanuel. I agree. I think that's an important point. Okay, so this is the program here. Okay, so what I want you guys to do now is to take a look at Chelak Beis 1 through 12. We're just going to fast forward a little bit to some of the Inyanim of Shabbos. Then on Monday of next week, Bezrat Hashem will circle back to this middle section of Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesia, try to get at Micah, your issue, and then we'll deal with Nitam Hatzilo Be'echad Me'evarav, which is a really, really critical issue. Okay, so KD, you're going to be on for the first period tomorrow, okay? So.